Welcome to Upgrading SQL Server Integration Services 2014. My name is Jim Miller. I'm a BI architect for SolidQ. A little bit about me first, and then we'll transition over to Paul. Been in the industry for 30 years, the most recent seven as a BI architect. Primary focus is on data warehousing, enterprise reporting, ETL frameworks, master data management, all the products surrounding a full BI implementation. I've filled many roles, including IT manager, data architect, DBA. I've also had a couple of unique opportunities to work in Bosnia and in Iraq. I started with Microsoft COBOL back in 1979, so I have been very familiar with the Microsoft products for quite a lot of time. My blog is there, BI for Breakfast, since I can only do it after having a lot of coffee.
You know, there aren't a lot of people who can claim that they started working with Microsoft COBOL. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, my only regret is I knew Microsoft was going places, but I didn't buy the stock in 1979. So you live and learn.
Hindsight's 2020.
So what's new in SSIS, SQL Server Integration Services? It is, in fact, relatively unchanged from 2012. Therefore, since many people are upgrading from earlier versions, going as far back as 2005, the significant changes to the product in 2012 were the project deployment model, shared connection managers. The change data capture is now fully integrated as a component in SSIS, as is data quality services. So there are first class components in SSIS for both of those, and user interface improvements, which are very nice, very practical for zooming in, for streamlining the views. You have the undo capability, which is extraordinarily helpful if you fat finger something. Okay, when you go to upgrade SSIS, you have to decide if you want to have an in-place upgrade or a side-by-side. An in-place upgrade is going to give you the beginning of your old version and at the end of the upgrade, your new version. If you choose side-by-side, then you'll actually have two instances installed, which is very handy for any of the more complex upgrades that you might have to perform. If you are going as far back as the earlier pre-2005 DTS packages, those will need to be separately upgraded to a later version, which could be 2005 or 2008, but that is not covered by the upgrade. And there are third-party tools that are available to help you convert your old DTS packages into a later version of SSIS. You would want to do that before the actual upgrade. All right, so an in-place scenario is where you're going to upgrade an existing environment. There are a few changes that will occur after the upgrade is completed. So for example, your packages will be moved into a new location. If they happen to be stored in MSDB, those packages will be in the new SQL 2014 MSDB database. If they were in the package store, which is simply a special folder designated by SSIS to hold packages, then that will move to the new package store. If you have packages that are someplace else on the file system, those will remain unchanged. It will also move your log data, your metadata into the 2014 system tables. all of your agent jobs stay the same. So you would have to manually go in and make those changes. But the older SSIS service does continue to be available. In a side-by-side scenario, you're installing a brand new instance of SSIS. This is very beneficial for your testing phase, because after you've installed, you may have a fairly large set of packages, maybe a part of an ongoing live application that you really don't want to just hit a switch to move from the old version to the new version. So the most important aspect of side-by-side is the ability to prove your new environment before you switch over, where the in-place upgrade does not give you that capability. You also can use multiple versions of Visual Studio to manage your BI products, be it SSIS packages, your cubes, reports, etc. So you can use multiple versions of BIDS, which was the earlier products, which stands for Business Intelligence Development Studio. Or you can use a newer version of SQL Server Data Tools. So that gives you the flexibility of using different versions of Visual Studio during transition to the new version of SSIS.
I wonder if using a side-by-side upgrade would also give you an opportunity to try out the new project deployment model and make sure that that works for you before you kind of jump in headfirst and commit to it.
Yes. So there are actually two steps where you would want to do the upgrade, which actually will upgrade your packages to 2014, and then have a second step, which is optional, to convert into the project deployment model. So the side-by-side would give you time to first do the upgrade to 2014, which is a revision to all of your SSIS packages natively in the package deployment mode, and then still during the side-by-side before you've hit the switch, then convert those packages into the project deployment model.
Right, be able to test the water a bit.
Right. And in fact, oftentimes when you move into the project deployment model, you find other things you would like to refactor at that time. It's a great opportunity. So it's a good point that while you're running side by side and refactoring or fixing packages, that could be an extended period of time depending on the number of packages that you're converting and the how ambitious you were in refactoring your packages. So yeah.
Our number of choices and options never goes down with each version, does it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And if you're in doubt whether to do side-by-side or in place, I would recommend side by side, simply because you have many more options and you don't have to worry so much about, oh, it didn't work, what do we do now?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So. All right, the outline for upgrading 2014, there is an upgrade advisor, which is recommended to run, which will look at your packages and preemptively tell you what problems you can anticipate. This is a free download from Microsoft. Make the decision on in-place or side-by-side. As you probably picked up by now, side-by-side gives you the most options. Then you actually do the installation or upgrade. If it's side-by-side, you're actually doing a brand new installation as a new instance. Run the project conversion wizard. Now, this is not project deployment. This is the prior version of your SSIS package, be it 2005, 2008, R2, et cetera. But to convert all those packages into the 2014 version, when you're done with that, you'll have the packages in what's called the package deployment model, which is the classic SSIS deployment. Test them. This is a good time to see, do the packages run? Do the connections work? Are your configurations still pointing to the right resources? Once you're done with that, you can optionally convert packages to the project deployment model. One way to look at that is earlier you had the ability to deploy a single package, and you were also limited to the deployment options within that single package. As a project, you can now deploy an entire project, and the project can actually have internal references to the same project. That makes things much easier, and we'll talk more about that. All right, depending on how far back you're going as in terms of the upgrade, if you're going to 2005 or 2008, you will find the potential for more features that have been deprecated or discontinued, behavior changes, et cetera. At the end of this deck is a set of resources that will tell you more specifically what to look for. But if you run the upgrade advisor, that should also tell you which features have been discontinued. The deprecated features will still work. They simply mean that there's a timetable for how long they're going to work, and this would be a good opportunity to rework packages that are using features that are now deprecated. It's not a hard stop. It's just a warning flag. All right, 64-bit considerations. Again, depending on how far back you're going, you may be upgrading a 32-bit environment. If you're upgrading from 32-bit to 64-bit, then you need to use a side-by-side deployment or upgrade approach. If you have a 32-bit version of Windows, of course, you'll need a new server to go to 64-bit. The good news is packages can still run in either the 32 or the 64-bit mode, and there's a switch. The setting is called Run 64-bit Runtime to go from 32 to 64-bit. In fact, as you develop software using SQL Server data tools or previously with BIDS, that is actually a 32-bit application. So in development, you're running in 32-bit, and then on deployment, you're typically running in 64-bit.
And I know that in the past, that's been a little bit of a challenge to develop in a 32-bit environment, and then, you know, there's a lot of potential for surprises once you deploy out to a 64-bit server.
Yeah.
So how has that changed since the introduction of SSIS back in 2005?
Well, it really is the same puzzle, and that is the drivers that you're using to connect to resources need to be available both in 32 and in 64-bit. As time has gone by, more 64-bit drivers are available. Mm-hmm. The good news is you don't have to change the package. You just deploy it, and then there's a setting after you deploy it to say run in 32 or 64-bit. Ideally, you're running in 64-bit, but you will still find certain data sources or destinations that only support 32-bit. A classic example is Excel. So right. For Excel, you're going to be using a 32-bit driver. There are other connection problems, perhaps with AS400s or maybe Oracle. It's there's so many different things to connect to, but you just want to verify that the 64-bit drivers are available and then run it in 64-bit mode, preferably. All right, thank you. Good question. All right, ETL frameworks. Any organization that has built a lot of SSIS packages probably is employing some sort of ETL framework. ETL frameworks are one way to standardize on the development of your packages. So let's say you have hundreds of packages. You would like them all to act as much as possible in the same fashion. And this would be with respect to getting the configurations, error handling, logging performance issues, or perhaps row counts, deployment strategies, naming conventions. All of these are typically wrapped up in an ETL framework. As you move to 2014 SSIS, some of these frameworks, and maybe most for certain organizations, are now built into SSIS. What you'll want to do is take a look at the framework that you're currently using, and then as part of the upgrade, decide if you want to refactor those, and it's usually a golden opportunity to refactor packages during an upgrade. And then take a look at the project deployment model options and determine if you would like to refactor incorporating the project deployment model. Now, if you like your framework, there's no need to change it. You can keep in the classic package deployment mode. So it would really depend on whether or not you want to move over to the project deployment model and take advantage of those framework style features. And also, you probably would want to consider refactoring other problems that have occurred in packages over time. So chances are you've been under development for 5 years or longer. You've had lots of different people touch lots of different packages with different versions of your frameworks, and you don't have the consistency that you would like. So again, here's an opportunity to take a close look at all the packages, fix some of the legacy issues that may be plaguing them, and then work that into your refactoring exercise while you're moving into the project deployment model.
I imagine that version control comes into play here as you're talking about team development and the history of several packages in a solution. And the project deployment is kind of part of that bigger picture of managing everything within Visual Studio with TFS and then finally deploying it as a project.
The Achilles heel of a lot of frameworks have to do with the fact it's template based. Meaning I'm going to build a new package. I start with the template. The template has all the framework features built into it for maybe rerunnability, for logging, for error handling, et cetera. I write the package, I deploy it, I move on to the next one. As time goes by, your framework template tends to change. You have more, your environment is different. There's more things to connect to. Your drivers change, et cetera. Well, it's just like using Word templates and old Word documents. The only way to fix that is to go back to the earlier document in Word or SSIS package and get it up to date.
Yeah. And yeah, there's no silver bullet, is there?
No, unless you have what I would refer to as a living template. So perhaps some of the features within the project deployment model may transcend that particular issue, depending on what it is. For example, a shared connection manager. Well, you can define a shared connection manager at the project level and then inherit that in packages. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite the same as going through and reworking them all.
Of course, not to get us out of scope, but there are a lot of third-party approaches to kind of templating development using tools and approaches like BIML, for example.
Yes, yeah, and BIML would be one way to also have a living framework, and that's a
sure. That's a little outside
day.
Of the scope of the product. But you're right.
I love the topic, but
sure.
I think that's a good example.
It exemplifies the maturity of the platform, though.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, BIML, part of BIDS Helper, is available as a free download from CodePlex. We'll do some very nice extensions to the standard product, including leveraging the BIML language, which stands for BI Markup Language. Okay, you'll want to be sure to run the upgrade advisor. This will tell you ahead of time what problems to anticipate, which is better than being in the middle of an upgrade and suddenly finding out that you have one or more of these issues. It will inspect your SSIS files and let you know any issues to anticipate. The older your SSIS packages are, the more likely this will surface some problems with them. It can be run remotely, and Upgrade Advisor covers the whole BI stack, not just SSIS, but AS, RS. Although RS cannot be run remotely, but outside of that, it covers the entire stack. Okay, when you install SSIS, you'll have a few options. What you see on the screen is a list of the suggested options. If you're not sure if you're going to use one of these features, there really isn't any risk to going ahead and installing it. If for some reason it is service-based, you can always stop the service and leave it in that state until you're ready for it. But I find it's much easier during the install to include all the components, even if you're not sure that you're going to use them, because it's always a more difficult proposition later to add features. All right, because you have the project deployment model, you now have some additional components or containers inside of the SQL Server instance. And this goes back, of course, also to 2012, where the project deployment model was introduced. So you'll see a database called SSISDB that will house the database objects, which, by the way, are usable by a developer. You can call a stored procedure in there. You can access a view. It's very friendly for developers. And you also have, if you look at the bottom, an integration services catalog. That catalog allows you, within the project deployment model, to define environments and then align the parameters. And in the demo, you'll see what parameters we're referring to. Align the values of those parameters with the environments that you're targeting, be it your dev, test, QA, production, et cetera. And it does provide you the backwards compatibility with earlier versions of SSIS, so not to worry. All right, to upgrade an SSIS project, you'll want to run the project conversion wizard. Now keep in mind, this starts out to convert the project, not necessarily the packages. However, it will then, in the middle of your project conversion wizard, switch over to a package conversion wizard, which will iterate through all the packages within the project. The project model conversion, that's the project deployment model, is another option that you may choose to run after converting the project and your packages to 2014. And again, that depends on whether or not you have the option to refactor your packages, taking advantage of the project deployment model. All right, the project conversion wizard, you want to use a version of Visual Studio that supports the 2014 BI templates. And for anybody who has not run through this process of installing, this is now a separate download from Microsoft specific to the shell that you've chosen. So in this case, it's a 2013 shell.
And we're actually going to be talking about this in depth in another session that we're doing today about the BI tools.
Ah, okay, good.
And I think one of the nice things here is that and actually when SQL Server 2014 went to RTM, they did add the Visual Studio shell, the Visual Studio 2012 shell. So this is a little confusing when we did the upgrade paper in the preview, but there are actually add-ins that you can download for different versions of Visual Studio now. So if you choose to install Visual Studio 2013 or 2014, there are add-ins that you can download and install. So you can choose which version of Visual Studio you actually want to use to author BI projects
now. And it's actually, you can install it on a free version of Visual Studio, the BI template, so you don't actually have to purchase Visual Studio.
Yeah,
but it is a separate download.
Yep.
Okay. And this will upgrade packages from prior versions of SSIS going back to 2005, which is really where SSIS started. Prior to that, it was just DTS. And you would start by simply opening the project. That will then kick into the package conversion wizard, again, launched automatically. And you'll have options inside of this particular wizard to update your connection providers, because chances are it's a later version of the provider. You can validate the packages, always a good idea. You can create new package IDs. This is just a unique GUID. If you want to assign a new set of unique GUIDs, perhaps you have logging, and then you would want to determine if the package that is running is the newer version of that package. And then you can choose to continue on failure and then revisit later or ignore your configurations. And now your configurations is essentially what binds your packages to the environment, to your database servers, to your FTP servers, to whatever data sources and destinations that are defined within your packages. All right, then you can optionally choose the project deployment model conversion. This could be done the same day, another day, but it really depends on your overall strategy for refactoring packages. If it does include moving to the project deployment model, then this is how you go about that. We do have a demo on this. The most important thing with the project deployment model is the project is the unit of deployment. Now, some people have pushed back a little bit on this because they say, hey, my project has got hundreds of packages. I make a change to one, I have to deploy all 100. Now, from a practical perspective, I don't anticipate this to be an issue, but it's good to know as you're forming and scoping your projects that when you change any package within that project and go to deploy it, you are deploying the entire project. Now, presumably you've got development, test, QA, production. So if something were to happen deploying the entire project, that should be validated during the testing process. But the reason for this is your project now has a richer set of references, especially between packages, and using parameters married to the environment that's deployed on the server. That's your catalog, your SSIS catalog. So they all work together and they need to stay in unison. So that is the reason for that. It is deployed to the SSISDB catalog. You now use parameters, so very similar to a stored procedure. When you run a stored procedure, you can throw one or more parameters at it. Now you do the same thing with a package. You run a package, you throw one or more parameters at it, typically to marry it to the environment. And again, the catalog gives you stored procedures and views, which can be used to invoke packages or to pull metadata out. And so again, it's very developer friendly. All right, that brings us to the demo. So I'm gonna switch over to a virtual machine. And on this virtual machine, I have Visual Studio. And I'm going to start, I'm going to convert this particular package, this project. It has four packages in it. One is a parent package that will call two other packages. In order to start, you just right-click on the project and you choose Convert to the Project Deployment Model. There are seven steps involved with converting to the Project Deployment Model. The seven are listed on the left side of the wizard, so you can see as you step through each of these, and you do have a back button in case you need to change your mind. The first thing you want to do is select the packages. Also at this point, if you have password protection for any of your packages, you can apply those. We're going to go ahead and convert all of the packages in this particular project. At this point in time, you can give it a new name. The protection level should be the same for the project and all the packages contained in there. I'll just choose to stay with the default. It's noticed that I have a parent package, and this parent package calls two other packages. And you can see the original reference goes back to the C drive in this case. It will alter that because now all these packages participate within the same project. So it will now alter those references just to the name of the package. And this has been really a sore spot for quite some time with SSIS developers, having packages referenced with the full file name and not being able to easily move the entire project to point to point. So the reference makes a lot more sense, and it's one of the nice reasons to convert to the project deployment model. So I'm going to click on Next. Now it's going to ask me about which configurations do I want to convert. So I have two configurations. You can see they're located also on the C drive. I want to convert them all because presumably all of these come in handy. They were designated at some point in time for a reason. But notice the option at the bottom of the screen is when you're done converting, you can remove those configuration references from the package. Why would you do that? Well, when you're done, these will now be driven by parameters. So the parameters replace your configuration files. So it would make sense to then remove them once you're done converting. So I'll choose Next. So now that it knows we have configuration files in play, it looked at all the configuration files and it said, here are the packages that are referencing config files. It's going to create for us the parameter names. And what it wants to know at this point is how to scope it. So we're moving from configurations to parameters. There are two levels of parameters. There's package package and project parameters. So I'm going to change the first two to project parameters. I'll leave the third as a package parameter. And you'll see at the end of this conversion process where you can find the project scoped parameters and where you can find the package scoped parameters. Oh, by the way, as you select the parameter, you can see on the lower part of the screen what the original reference was inside of the config file.
So can some of these parameters be managed in, let's say, an XML document where others would use something like the new environments?
It's a good question, Paul. I don't think you would want to mix them up. It seems like
It's a big difference between what you can do and what you should do sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. The variety of the earlier configurations was a little bit mind-numbing. You know, you've got your XML, you had your SQL Server ones, you had your registry ones, you had some people using localhost to get to something that would point over to another server. That this model says, instead of using these configurations, put this into the SSIS catalog on SQL Server. There's a very rich way to define all of your environments and specify individual parameter values for each environment. So the goal is, you take this and deploy it, you simply go into the catalog and say, I want to run this in the dev environment. I want to run this in the QA environment.
So and all of that configuration information is in one place.
Right, and it's in SQL Server.
Yeah, and in BI, we always talk about having one version of the truth.
Yes.
So maybe this is kind of an extension of that concept. Yeah.
So I'm not saying you couldn't mix, but I would say last resort, probably, and just manage it all within the SSIS catalog within Management Studio. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have also a chance to change the values of the parameters. So you can, when it creates the parameter for you, you can set the default value based on what is in the config file if you choose. And last step is just to review all of your instructions for this conversion process. So it's just a nice summary of the selections that you've made. And now you're down to the magical convert button. So this is your point of no return. You can back up at this point, or you can convert.
There's so much power in just a little button right there.
Right, yeah, put it all on a button. Obviously, if you're worried at all, you can have a backup copy of your projects, which is, you know, not a bad idea. And if you have source control, should not be a problem. So I'm going to click on convert. Now it's gone through it. It has converted all the packages. They've all passed. If not, you would have a link to find out what the problem was. Note that nothing has actually been saved back in this project. It's waiting for you to click on save all. And we'll go ahead and close our results window. So let's see what has changed. Up here, you no longer see package deployment. That's because you're in the now native project deployment. You have a container called project parameters. So you remember I had two that were specified at the project level. So it gives me the name of them, the data types, the values, are they required, etc. There are also parameters at the package level. So you may have a parameter that's just scoped at the package level. So here's an example of that. To get to the package parameters, you'll see it's right next to data flow. So there was one of these. The way you would probably want to populate that is on the execute package from the parent, you would pass in the parameter specific to this child package. If we go to the parent package, we can use that handy zoom feature in SSIS now.
In rounded corners too.
Yes, much more streamlined, it's faster, less friction. Well, I can't quite get to that control, but it's up there. This magnifier makes it a little more difficult to move around, so I won't dwell on that. What I wanted, though, to show was that the old connection managers for running the child packages is still defined. So if I look at the values of this particular connection manager, you can see it's referencing the old location. Well, we know that this is using the project deployment model. So if I look at a package, we can see that the package is using a named reference from the project. So consequently, those connection managers are just left over and not needed. So they can freely be deleted without consequence. So let me go ahead and, all right, outside of that, you're now in 2014, you're using the project deployment model. If you go over to Management Studio, that's where you can set your values for your define your environments and then set the values for each environment you define to have specific parameter values. All right, so that is the demo. So in summary, upgrading to SSIS 2014 can be accomplished either side by side or in place. When in doubt, run side by side, especially if it's an extended upgrade or if there are any refactoring that's involved. The 2014 will give you backwards compatibility. So if you do choose in place, you can still run earlier versions of packages. The side-by-side essentially gives you two instances. You will want to convert your projects, which will then convert your packages to 2014. As an option, you can convert to the project model. Don't forget to run the upgrade advisor. It's free, but it may save you some grief. And if you are refactoring, remember that some of your ETL framework components may be replaced by the new SSIS project deployment model, such as logging and error handling.
Jim, I know you do a lot of SSIS work for consulting clients. And so as you've worked through this process, how important is backward compatibility? Is that something that you've seen or do things move forward pretty smoothly?
Yes, yeah, depending on the complexity, I'd say it's extremely important. Some of these conversions can be enormously complex, especially because you have so many moving parts. So we're going to upgrade SSIS. Okay, well, that's your ETL layer. Your ETL layer is usually a pretty big chunk of a BI solution, 75% perhaps.
Yeah,
okay. But it's connecting to, oftentimes, live servers. Why? Because people want up-to-date data. So in a conversion process, before you cut over, you need to make sure that the new system does what the old system did as well. So side-by-side lets you run the old, so you have all that backwards compatibility in the testing sense. As you start to move them over, they can run it in your new environment in compatibility mode and then run the upgrade. And now you're running it on true 2014, or then you can refactor. The puzzle often is, are we sure that the packages are doing the same, both in the old and in the new? Well, if you're going to 2014, it may be you're upgrading SSIS, the core database engine, your cubes, your reports, right?
A lot of moving parts
right
there.
So, especially what's going on upstream. Now, downstream, you have a little more control over your cubes and reports, but upstream, the data that you're connecting to. So now you're populating two environments. How big are those environments? Well, they could be, gigabytes, terabytes, a lot of data there. So now your ETL is running twice, the old and the new. It's hitting databases that could be live and changing, and now you want to verify that they're doing the very same thing when the upstream processes may not totally accommodate that.
Right.
I don't want to go on too long about this, but it can be extraordinarily complex. So yes, the backwards compatibility during that process comes in very handy.
Right. So we have that safety net of being able to support packages that worked at one time and something may have changed.
Yes.
So
yeah. Even if you choose in place, that's right. But because of
the
complexity, and which can be often underestimated, I really recommend side by side until you can fully vet the environment, then just shut off the old, earlier version of SSIS.
Great.
And you're
good to have that insight from your experience.
Yes, nice security blanket. So we will now transition. Oh, I had mentioned the additional references They're on the screen as well. And so these are all helpful resources for an SSIS upgrade. Okay, that wraps up our presentation on upgrading to SSIS. I hope you enjoyed that segment. We will now transition over to discussing SSAS in the next segment.